Oh, yes, little darlings are dismissed. Sorry, Mary. Your little darlings go back to Children's Church with Miss Mary, and Miss Annadale is going to take little buddy Zeke over there with the shiny, with the glow-in-the-dark shoes. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to begin with verse number 8 and go to the end of the chapter, and it's going to be more of a running commentary than anything. I divided this portion of chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles into three distinct portions. Number one, we're going to look at in verses 7 through 11, remember who God is. We're entering, of course, into what we call the Thanksgiving season for the child of God. Every day should be a day of Thanksgiving. But we, in a special way, the world, of course, basically it's another holiday for those out in the world that really don't know the Lord and so really don't thank Him in the fullest sense of the word. Then we're going to look at number two, remember what God has done, verses 20 through 22. And then lastly, number three, remember worship and praise, verses 23 through 36. And these are original with me. That's why they're not very good, okay? Let me put this. This looks kind of silly pointing down there, doesn't it? All right. David had taken Jerusalem from the Jebusites, and he made it the capital of Israel. But there was something missing from the city of Israel, and that was, of course, the ark. The ark had to be moved to Jerusalem if Jerusalem was going to be the center of worship, the religious center. If you recall from your Bible history, the Philistines had captured the ark at Shiloh and had it on display several months in Philistia. And things didn't go well for the Philistines, did it? Didn't go well at all. I mean, they had some grievous issues because they had the ark. And so they said, we got to get rid of this thing. And so they returned it to Israel. It stayed at Beth Shemesh and Kirjath-Jearim, and I know I'm not saying that right, for about 100 years. And then David had it moved from the house of Abinadab after being there on 20 years. Well, while it was being moved by Abinadab's sons, Uzzah and Ahio, not Ohio, but Ahio, they moved it, unfortunately for them, for Uzzah anyway, David came up with a better idea. The law was specific in how the ark was to be transported. Somebody tell me how the ark was to be transported. By two poles? So you couldn't use two Germans then? Okay.
And only a certain tribe would be Levi.
Exactly. All right, so God said there were gold rings on the side of the ark, four of them, two on one side, two on the other. A pole overlaid with gold was to go through those two rings. And then the Bible's not specific whether there were two men or four men that carried the ark. Doesn't really matter. They were of the tribe of Levi, but specifically the Kohathites. The Kohathites were supposed to carry it. Was there anything in God's instructions about building a new cart and putting it on a cart? But even though David was the king, he decided, you know what, I think it'd be really cool. Rather than have the men have to walk and carry it, we'll just put it on a new cart. I mean, we'll use an old cart. And two oxen will pull that thing, and we'll get it to Jerusalem. Well, the oxen stumbled, and the cart began to shift, and the ark began to slide off the cart. And so Uzzah did what anybody would do. He reached back to steady the ark, and God struck him dead. And that made David displeased, is how the Bible puts it. David was displeased. Well, he should have been displeased with himself for disobeying the clear instructions of the Word of God. How often have we blamed God when God intervenes because we have violated his word and we're going through some kind of tough experience simply because we violated the truth of the Word of God? David had no reason to complain. If anything, he should have complained against himself. Not only does the Bible say David was displeased, but it also said that he was afraid of God. It's one thing to fear God, and even to fear in the sense that we think of fear, because our God is a consuming fire, and our God holds our very breath in his hands. We should fear even more so than what we often say, a reverent fear. We should actually fear him. But David had an unhealthy fear here. He was afraid of God. Well, let me ask you this. If we're obedient to the Word of God, we know we're saved, we're born into the family of God, and we seek to obey God, and we have this intimate fellowship with our God, and we love him and seek to serve him, should we be afraid of God? Should we? No. We don't have to be afraid. I'm not talking about a healthy fear. I'm talking about a afraid of God. Oh, man, if I do anything, God's going to strike me dead. God's going to get you for that. Remember that old song, God's going to get you for that? Is God in the business of getting us? God loves us. God desires to bless us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So David had a fear, and the fear was because of his disobedience. That's my point here. If we disobey God, there ought to be some fear. He was afraid of God, not because he had disobeyed God and God acted, but because he did not obey the word of God, and God then struck someone dead because of his disobedience. David then postponed the bringing of the ark to Jerusalem and left it for 3 months at the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And guess what God did for those 3 months for the Obed-Edom, and I know I'm not saying that right either, the Gittite. He blessed his household, not only blessed his household, but all that he had. All right, so let's look at verses 7 through 11 and remember who God is. This is for us. Now, I know that, by the way, this is found in Psalms 105 and 106. This is a psalm of David. It's a song of David. David gave it to the hand of Asaph and his brethren, and they sang this together. And so almost identical words are found in Psalm 105 and Psalm 106. Give thanks unto the Lord. This is 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks. That's in the Old Testament, Jordan. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. So we see David's song of thanks, verses 8 through 36. And number one, remember who God is. On Thanksgiving Day, we sit around the table. Many of us have, there's turkey, which I can live without, but I'll eat it. Turkey and dressing, which is very good. And green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole, hot rolls, mashed potatoes made from the famous hands of George the mashed potato guru, mac and cheese, cranberry sauce, not out of the can, which I really like. Becca makes it with actual cranberries, and it's quite tasty. What am I missing, Tater? Help me out here. What else? I know I'm forgetting some. Oh, angel eggs. We don't call them deviled eggs. They're angel eggs. Got to have those. Chocolate pie. Barbara always made pumpkin pie, but normally she was the only one that would eat it. Becca might have a small slice. I can eat it if I have like one part pumpkin pie and 16 parts cream. You know what I'm talking about? I like a little pumpkin pie with my whipped cream. But anyway, as we're sitting enjoying the feast, let's remember who provided it. I know that we are the ones that have to punch the clock, and we go to work, and God understands that. But God gives us the job. He gives us the economy, the nation we live in. We could have been born in the Congo, but we were born here, or we came here, whichever the case may be. And we, God has given us the health and the mental acuity to do whatever it is we do to make a living. And so God is to be thanked, because every good and perfect gift comes from above. Comes from God himself, the very throne of God. So please remember to give thanks unto the Lord. And like I told you before, this is the only time in my life as a child that my father prayed. The only time, once a year, Thanksgiving, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts of ours be blessed. Amen. That's it. That's the only prayer I ever heard, ever, off my father's lips. And I'm so thankful by the grace and mercy of God, and by that alone, I was able to come to know Christ as my Savior when our oldest was just a little girl. My other daughters were born after Barbara and I were saved, and I was able to pray often and teach my girls how to pray. That's all based on the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Now, when we sing, it's not filler material. It's not that the preacher couldn't talk for an hour. I promise you that I could. We sing because we are worshiping the God we love. We are praising his name. That's why I'm concerned about the kinds of songs. Why? Because we're not singing for the entertainment of men. We are singing for the glory of God. There's a big difference. Much of what is called praise and worship is nothing more than entertainment for those that are in the seats or the pews. When we sing, if we sing with the heart that we ought to, we're singing unto the Lord. Part of our worship, singing psalms, which are the word of God put into, put to music. Talking of all his wondrous works, that's a part of what we do when we sing. We sing about the cross, we sing about the resurrection, we sing about our Creator God, we sing about our sovereign God, and we offer praise to him, and God delights in that. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And a time of thanksgiving should be a time of rejoicing, should it not? Too many Christians, as one of my professors said in Bible college, are vaccinated with dill pickle juice. This guy was a funny guy. Sumner Wimp, even his name was a little unique. Sumner Wimp. He died a few years ago. He was well in his 90s. He looked like he was 90 back then when I was in Bible college. He really did. He didn't have a hair on his head, and he was a funny guy. He's the one to come into class. We're going to have a quiz. Quick, like a bunny rabbit. Take out a half sheet of paper. But he would do then the picture of the person vaccinated with dill pickle juice. And he'd do, I mean, this crazy face. Shouldn't we, or do we, let me ask it this way, do we have anything to rejoice over? Now, there's a lot wrong with America. We're seeing a lot of things go wrong. But I'll tell you what, we still live in the greatest country on the face of the planet. And we have so much to be thankful for. If we didn't have anything, okay, if we didn't have a thing money could buy, but we have been born again, you think we have anything to praise and worship and thank God for? I mean, if there wasn't another meal that God would provide for me and I would die of starvation, I know that when I die, I'm going to be in his presence. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. seek his face continually. Not just on Sunday. Seek his face continually. That speaks of relationship, doesn't it? How much time did you spend with Jesus this week? Is your Bible idle? I remember hearing a sermon from an evangelist way back when I first got saved in 1977 entitled, "Your Bible, Is It Dead or Alive?" It's a great message out of Ephesians. Then secondly, not only remember who God is, but remember what God has done, verses 12 through 22. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, which we are also chosen in Christ Jesus. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant. And here, of course, David is speaking of the Abrahamic covenant. There were seven of them total, I believe. Five or seven. I forget now. I think there were five. Anyway, he's speaking of the Abrahamic covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Generation is considered to be about 40 years. And so the idea is the author is saying, you know what? This goes into eternity. All through history and beyond. Even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few. Remember, started out with Abraham leaving the Ur of the Chaldees, went to Haran, and he then went into Canaan, and he went down to Egypt, went back to Canaan, went back to Egypt. And there were just a few of them traveling about. Small little caravan. It all began small. But God was there. God knew. When you were but few, even a few, and strangers or sojourners in it, when they went from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Remember when Abraham and Sarah went down into Egypt, and Abraham told a half-truth, which is a full lie. And he said, Sarah is my sister. Remember that? And then the Abimelech, and I think this happened twice, if I remember right. And then the king found out that Sarah, he saw them out there acting as husband and wife, you know, cutting up with each other. And he said, Abram, why have you lied to me and deceived me? Not telling me that Sarah is your wife. God intervened for him and for Sarah. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. It's good for us to remember what God has done. When you're going through a hard time, just think back over your Christian life, or maybe somebody else you know, how God delivered. Because if God did it then, he can do it now. If God has delivered in the past, if he met a need in the past, he can meet that need now. And he will, according to his plan and purpose. Then, beginning with verse 23 through 36, remember, worship, and praise. Not entertainment, not appealing to the flesh, not trying to make us feel better in the midst of our sin. But in verse 23, sing unto the Lord all the earth, and one day it will. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. Isn't that God, what God called us to do? Take his gospel to the ends of the earth. During the week, do you have any thought of sharing the gospel with someone else? Do you leave tracts or invitation cards that have the gospel on it? You know, it's not for a select few. The only way these chairs will be filled is if we're found faithful in inviting others. You'd be shocked the number of people that'll come to a church if they would just be invited. It would shock you. But it's not just going to happen. We have to be doing God's work. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. How many true gods are there? One. Notice the contrast given in verse number 26. For all the gods of the people, whatever they may be, it can be anything. It can be a statue. It can be another person that we have turned into a god, elevating them above our God. It can be a thing. It can be a job. It can be a hobby. But no matter what the God may be, there's only one Lord, and He made the heavens. He created everything. Who is it that created everything? It's God. Not any other idol. There's no other God. That's true. What a stark contrast. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due on His name. Now, we can't add to His glory, but we can recognize His glory, and we can tell others of His glory, and we, of course, can worship Him as a God of truth and glory. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, and you could say unto His name alone, for He alone is worthy. Bring an offering, common occurrence in the Word of God when our hearts are right with Him, and we desire to worship and praise Him, and we understand that everything we enjoy comes directly from our God. It's not a big thing to bring an offering. I'm so thankful to my God that Barbara and I, when we got saved, the most I gave before that was a couple of dollars I'd throw in the plate as an afterthought. And from the time that God saved us, we began to be faithful in giving. It was very difficult. But you know what God did? God honored it. And you know what God has done faithfully over the last 47 years? He has provided our needs. Have there been lean times? Oh, yeah. Have there been times when there's too much month at the end of our money? Oh, yeah. But you know what God ended up? He always provided. Oftentimes, when I was in Bible college, things were really tight. But you know what God would do is He would provide overtime. I worked in a machine shop, or even some work that I could bid on, some extra work. We had so much work during the end of Carter administration and early in the Reagan administration when unemployment was very, very high. Remember those days? Some of you are old enough to remember those days. Inflation was crazy. Interest rates were through the roof. And places were shutting down. Well, God so blessed the machine shop I worked at. It was at the bottom of the hill from the Bible college that I was working as much overtime as I could handle during the recession and doing contract work. He would lay out blueprints and say, you guys tell me how much you would do these for, or sometimes he'd have a set price, and I made really good money. God provided always. He just made me have to work more. Is that still God providing? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, of course, it's work. What? You owe me. You got to pay my college debt. Well, why? You took the loans out. I don't care. I want you to pay them so I can take a vacation. Remember, worship, and praise this Thanksgiving. Give unto the Lord, verse 29, the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That means according to His ways. Fear before Him all the earth, and the world shall be stable that it be not moved. Are you worried about the planet overheating and and everything's going to, we're all going to die. Global warming, our inept bag of oatmeal president, rotting bag of oatmeal president, says the biggest threat to the United States is global warming. As he's let in multiple terrorists into our country through an open border, he's worried about a 1 degree change in temperature. But I got great news for you. You know, God who created everything, that same God is sustaining everything. Yeah, we're to take care of the planet the best we can, but we don't have to go crazy and turn a religion into it, or turn into a religion and stop driving cars or digging for oil because we're afraid the planet's going to end. It is a disposable planet. It'll be disposed of when God is ready. I'm not afraid. Are you afraid? Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of God. Didn't the Lord say that men didn't praise him, the stones would cry out? All the trees of the wood sing out in the presence of the Lord because he comes to judge the earth. All of creation is crying, travailing in pain, waiting for the redemption of our bodies so they can enjoy a restored creation. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Well, why should I? Well, because he's good. How about that? I love to pray and say, God, you're so good. Thank you, you're so good. His mercy endures for a couple of weeks. Oh, wait a minute, no. That's the Good News for Modern Man version. For his mercy endures forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen. Please, Lord, these far left radical Marxist freakos that slaughter babies and are against anyone that would stand opposed to that and want to change little boys into girls and little girls into boys and all kinds of crazy, ridiculous, perverted, godless things. Save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, oh, wow, that was weak. And all the people said, amen. And praised the Lord. The rest of the chapter is worship before the ark. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, help us, Lord, this Thanksgiving, more so than ever before, to be thankful. Lord, you have allowed us to live in peace when there's war in many places around the earth. We think of your people, Israel, those in Ukraine, other parts of the world. The Gaza Strip, of course, is paying a steep price for attacking your people. And Lord, I pray that we would be truly thankful and truly, though we sometimes desire to take some credit for what we have, Lord, that we would be mindful and teach our children and grandchildren that all good things come from a great, great God. Lord, I pray that we would teach our children and grandchildren to work hard, to be thankful for what you provide, to understand that even when we work and earn money, it's because of your grace that we can do it. I pray you give us a safe Thanksgiving. protect us as we travel various places. And Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for our salvation, for the gift of Christ who loved us and died upon the cross, was buried, rose again the third day, and has ascended and is seated at your right hand, making intercession for us. So Lord, bless this invitation. If we need to come and confess sin, if we need to come or desire to come to say thank you, Lord, for all that you have blessed us with, Lord, may we be obedient to the Spirit of God this morning. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, take your hymn books, turn to page number 307. 307, Just As I Am.